Well, now we're lucky enough to be joined on the line. Well, he's the new coach of the Warriors. They have seven new signings. They're training in two groups at the moment, one in Auckland, 14 others in Australia. They're at a base at Kiama. Nathan Brown joining us. How are you, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, going really well, thanks. So considering the challenges that you've got at the moment, how confident are you that the squad is tracking as you'd like at this point?
Well, it's an interesting time. I can, you know, we've watched the training sessions of the guys back in Oz over here that are sent through, but it's obviously, there's nothing like being there yourself. But, you know, I've got some good staff back there running that, so I feel comfortable there or heading in the right direction. And, you know, over here, we've been working with a lot more younger players at this end because most of the experienced blokes are either in Australia or have only just come back to train this week. So what it's given us an opportunity to do is work with sort of a lot of first-year players, ones that, you know, people haven't heard of yet and probably won't hear of even next year. But in the coming years, there's some really good young ones we've been working with. So it's been really good from that point of view. The young kids probably not intimidated, and, you know, in smaller groups, you get to do a lot more individual work with them. So it's been an interesting but enjoyable time.
I was about to ask you, Brownie, how does it work, mate? Is it more about the physical aspect? You know, with the group in Kiama, have they got enough numbers to sort of do any technical work or skills, or is it just basically running until you get the group together?
Well, basically what we did was we sort of sat down as a staff at the meeting and thought, what can we achieve in the first sort of 6 weeks of pre-Christmas before we come together? And basically what we sort of thought was the real key focus of this was, one, obviously the physical part, like the gym and the fitness and the way people move, and the other one was like more core skills, so more individual skill and more things that help the individual player improve. So that's been our key focus point. And with smaller groups, probably actually much easier to do because, you know, you've got less people to obviously oversee and coach. So we've sort of, you know, got some good staff out there in Oz doing it, and we've got some good staff over here. So we've got more players here, so we've got more coaching staff than we have back home. So it's probably not being together is not the best way to obviously start when you've got a lot of new players coming to your club and you've got a lot of young ones that have come up as well. But from what we've wanted to achieve, it's probably a bonus in some way.
Brownie, how do you get that balance in with any team where I would imagine a big part of what you're trying to create is success and consistency over a number of years, but then it's not a rebuild phase. It's actually, you know what, we still think we are good enough to make the eight right now. How do you get that balance as a head coach?
Probably the bonus with the Warriors at the moment is, Clark, is that, you know, they've got probably... You know, Wade Egan's a very sort of a young player. I believe he's got, you know, extremely talented young hooker, and he's sort of at sort of 40, 50 odd games now. And, you know, Chanel Tavita's a very talented young half who's got about 30 odd games now. So there's a fair few of the number blokes, younger blokes, who've sort of hit that, you know, between sort of 25 to 50 games. So they've got a bit of an awareness, I suppose, of, you know, what first grade's about. They're far from the complete player, but they actually understand that what it's like to play first grade. They understand what they've got to get better at to become a sort of top line sort of player, if you like to put it. And then, you know, your blokes like Fusatoum and Nola and all that, they're sort of starting to hit, you know, Cody Nicolini, they're all starting to come into, you know, somewhat their better years because of the amount of games they've played. And then, you know, blokes like Roger and Tohu Harris, they've sort of competed at the elite level. Yeah. So, you know, the balance of the squad's a pretty good balance to try and grow off the back of, as opposed to you get a squad where, you know, those young halves have got to make their debut in any sort of year altogether. That makes it extremely difficult. But you'd like to think that the younger players are going to start to be able to present some sort of consistency if they have a good pre-season and obviously play with better players. You bring in Adam Fanua Blake, you'd like to think that's going to help young Eli Kakau. You know, he's probably played 15 or 20 games now. So hopefully those younger ones can give the club a good growth through just natural improvement and understanding that what first grade's about. Because last year, I think, you know, Mooks Baboud, probably half a dozen of them, you know, young Eli Kakoa, Jack Murchie, the number of them, Adam Pompey, there's probably about six that he debuted last year, Mooks. And you'd like to think that, you know, in any club you can get growth out of your own players that have played, you know, that sort of 15, 20, 30, 40 games. And then the other way to improve is obviously through recruitment. And we feel like on the recruitment end, we feel like we've brought in some players who understand what first grade's about. And obviously, you know, when you get someone like Adam Fanua Blake, you get someone who's obviously in the top part of that position. Then we've got some other blokes who are good first graders.
Oh, I was about to ask you, Brownie, has that been an advantage to you, the fact that you're a consultant to the club last year? So you actually know the inner workings, even though it was only for 12 months, but you actually know people in the club, you know the pathway system set up, you know some of the young guys coming through. And then in terms of your recruitment, what I've noticed is with Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Kane Evans and Fanua Blake, they're three middles. Was that something that you identified as somewhere that the Warriors needed to be strengthened?
Well, to be fair to Steve Carney and Pete O'Sullivan, the recruitment officer, you know, they'd identified that, you know, that people have been picturing the Warriors had this big football side. The Warriors have been a small football side for the last 5 years, you know, so probably too small, you know. So what they'd already identified was the club was we need to get a bit more power and a bit more people who can actually break tackles that are actually forwards, you know. So it already had a plan in place, which obviously I was here and I was privy to because I was here. So those type of things, the wheels had started to get put in motion as it was. And so Benny Murdoch was already signed, you know, he was signed by Sully and Brooks, and Kane Evans was already signed, you know. So after that, obviously I had a fair impact on the ones that come in after that. But yeah, so there was already a plan in place, which when you're, as you said, a consultant was, and you're actually in meetings, you're hearing what they're talking about, it does give you a better head start than actually not being here. But it also allows you to understand that there was good things happening at the club and you don't need to come in and reinvent every single thing, you know. So there was some good staff here doing some good work. So, you know, you can actually gain a little bit of consistency out of keeping people that were here doing a good job. You know, that's one of the first things Hook said to me when I got the job and we had a chat on the phone. Hook said, mate, there's a lot of good people here. You don't need to go getting rid of a lot of people, like, you know, some coaches decide to do that, which is fine. But I didn't need to do that. And where the clubs that keep sacking coaches make it difficult for themselves was is they not only they sack coaches, but then the new coach comes in and he obviously makes huge changes to strength conditioning and all sorts of areas. And then 18 months later, the same club sacks the coach and then the new coach comes in and they just, and the Roosters and the Melbourne, they just sit back and keep laughing at everyone because they make the game so much easier for them. It never gets too difficult, you know, where the clubs that have some stability, they actually, their club and players get to grow their game, you know, and they get consistency about, you know, not only about who they're working with as coaches, but they actually get consistent messages as well, you know. So, you know, if you look at Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, for example, and you compare him to Billy Slater had Greg Bellamy coaching and Darius Boyd had Wayne Bennett coaching and James Tedesco had Potsy at the start of his career, then he's had Trent Robinson for 5 years. So these players have a big advantage over Roger because Roger's had about six coaches who all probably tell him good things, but they're different things. And that can become quite confusing for a player to actually grow his game with any sort of consistency. And as I'm like Roger's like fifth coach in 7 years, you know, so if I come in jobs and I try and tell him to do something maybe a bit different to the last bloke, and it's not that any of us are wrong, but it's different messaging where, you know, those fullbacks I just mentioned, they've been at clubs where they've had a lot of stability and their careers just grow and grow and grow and grow because the coach has got something in place for him that helps him do that, you know. So they're the advantages of stability, and, you know, as I was just, what brought me to the topic was that, you know, Milk's had some good things in place here which we can continue to grow off.
Nathan, I'm not sure if you've got any further room, wiggle room in that salary cap, but I don't know if you got the Brandon Smith email. Would you be interested?
Oh, look, Brandon Smith's an outstanding player. Look, and it's not a club that wouldn't want him in their organisation, but, you know, I'm extremely happy and confident that Wade Egan could be a 10-year hooker for the Warriors. You know, he's someone who, you know, again, he wasn't signed by me. He was here and I got him, but I think he's a very talented player and I think the club can be built around himself and Chanel Taverta. And we've also got Carl Wharton, who did a terrific job for the club as well. So as we stand, you know, we're happy with that position, but whoever gets the benefit of getting Brandon Smith, certainly getting a good player and a great competitor.
How are the players, Brownie, in regards to coming across here at the start of the year for, you know, in the new year, sorry, for continuing their pre-season and then sort of playing the first sort of month here in Australia? I know some players found it difficult last year. Have the players got their head around it, and do you expect every player to travel across to Australia next year?
Yeah, so past year, like, they found there were some benefits in being over in Australia and being together a lot. Like, so for a lot of those younger players, you know, being in an environment where they can control things like eating habits and lifestyle, and obviously having the access to get to them and, you know, do video sessions and little small one-on-one meets. But they found, you know, the players and coaches found there was some real positives. Now, the two biggest negatives for last year was families not being able to go. That was obviously the number one. And the other real negative was the unknown and the uncertainty. So the two things which the chairman and CEO really wanted to get right was certainty in family. So obviously the borders being open, the families are more than welcome to come. So that sort of ticked that box. And so what we sort of decided was that, you know, we want to be together for a month after Christmas because obviously of the disadvantage of our squad not being together. So number one option was everyone come to New Zealand, but we couldn't train in any quarantine over here, so we couldn't do that. So going to Tamworth for a month, you know, that's the sort of look at that was where our squad's at as a bonus, because it's sort of like a month-long footy camp. And then the idea of booking the Central Coast for the first 2 months was basically by the end of start of April, that's the end of the first school term. So the players that have got children, they can have their kids in school for the first school term. And along the journey, we will decide, obviously, the borders will decide if they're going to open up. And then if they're not open, we'll just go another school term. So the guys with the young families, they can put their kids into school and they can talk to the schools and just give them that certainty. They know this is where they're going to school for the next term. And if we book a term of school and the borders open, we won't come back. We'll do the term. So if the borders somehow or whatever other open in January, we'll be staying in Australia because we're booked in and the players have got certainty about what they want. And then we'll come back and hopefully play our first home game against Manly here in round 5 on a Friday night. That's what we'd like to do. But if the borders aren't open by then, well, then we'll book another school term. And the players are, I think they're really comfortable with it. Well, I think they're seen as a bit of a journey, but a great opportunity for us all to get to know each other. So we do have a lot of new players from recruitment and young players. So we've got a squad of about 42 coming out, 44 players are coming out. So there's a lot of young kids that are going to get a great life journey as well. It'll be the first time they've been away from their families. And, you know, most of the young Polynesian boys come from very large families, don't they? So it's going to be a life experience for some of them as well.
Well, Brownie, it's sure to be some challenge and we'll be watching with plenty of interest. Thanks so much for your time and good luck.
Thanks, fellas.